know what? The Lord's watching for the positive too, isn't he? He's keeping track of our lives and the things that we do for him, and he's going to reward that and honor that by well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry that my wife and my kids couldn't be with me. They are in school, and they don't always travel with me unless we can get... I thought I'd be late tonight, so they didn't come with me today. But I'm so thankful for them. I have a wife of 11 years, been married 11 years, 5 good years. And no, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. She's not here. I can pick on her a little bit. Have 2 children, a 9-year-old boy and a 6-year-old girl, and they are my pride and joy in life. And just thank the Lord for his goodness. Hasn't the Lord been good to us? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand with me one more time? Joshua chapter 3 and verse 13. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 13. There is a promised land ahead of the children of Israel. And Joshua is giving instructions now for the crossing of the Jordan River. He says, "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap." In other words, there's going to be a separation of the waters, and God is going to give us an entrance way into the promised land. Praise God. And I want to just preach to you for a little while from this subject, the second crossing. The second crossing. Can we pray and just ask God to speak to our hearts? Lord Jesus, we love you today. We thank you for everything that's been done tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers of your people that have gone up already in this place. The singing, the worship, those that have given in the offering, those that have given of their time, their talents to serve you tonight. And we give you praise for it. Have your way tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Give somebody a high five before you're seated and tell them God is good. Praise God. Now, they said I could preach till 9, but you're leaving at 7:30, so I'll keep that in mind. Praise God. But you know, in the Bible, we are given the principle of the second witness. In Deuteronomy 17, we find instructions for those who are found worshiping false gods. Deuteronomy 17, verse 6 says, "At the mouth of 2 witnesses or 3 witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of 1 witness shall not be put to death." Or in other words, you have to have at least 2 witnesses in order to condemn someone to death. Now, it's unfortunate that we have lost this principle on social media, and we tend to crucify people over one person's witness, don't we? We can hear someone say, "This just happened to me, and this is terrible," and we jump on the bandwagon. "Yeah, I can't believe it either, and I don't understand why they would do that, and this is terrible," and all this stuff. And then we learn a little bit later that that was only one witness. But if you were to find the other witness, you would hear a totally different story. And so that's the principle that the Bible gives us, the Lord gives us, to execute judgment, that if you're going to settle the matter, if you're going to finalize it, if you're going to find the truth, you have to have 2 witnesses. We find this even in the trial of Jesus Christ, that he was not condemned necessarily because of the witnesses they brought before him, because the witnesses would not agree. They could not get them to agree on what it was that he was guilty of. And so they asked him, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ?" Knowing that if he said yes, that they would have grounds to convict him on blasphemy. And so he said yes, as you say it. And the priest rent his garments. But they did not have the witnesses to come forth to condemn him. And so the law of God is in effect. And I believe it's the same way that in our day we can apply what the scriptures have said. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 18, when he was talking about how to deal with trouble. Now, I know there's no trouble in the church. But he said, "Again, I say unto you," to reiterate this, he said that if 2 of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, what was he talking about in this particular context? He was talking again about church trouble, about problems with your brother or your sister. You see, the Lord was so intent on having unity in the church that he gave us guidelines on how to deal with problems. He said, if you've got an issue with your brother, if your brother has a problem with you, if there's an issue and he's sinned or offended you, he said, you should go to everybody in your family and complain about what they've done. You should create a meme and tell everyone in that meme how upset. Anybody know what a meme is? Now I'm talking 21st century language here. You create a picture of yourself with a really mean face and say, I hate it when people do this. And you start to rant. Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said. He said, take somebody with you. He said, first of all, you go to the person directly and you try to work it out. Oh, I feel like I'm helping somebody here today. You go to the person one-on-one. You don't spread it out everywhere. You go to that person, talk to them. If you resolve crossing, hallelujah. I believe at the second crossing that God is going to give us healings and miracles that can be documented, that can be confirmed by the medical physicians. I believe that God wants to bring healings and miracles into people's lives like we saw in the old days, like we've heard testimonies about. I wish there would be some young people tonight that would get a hold of this and say, God, I want to see it like my parents saw it. I want to see it like my grandparents have talked about. I want to hear again in my own life and my own testimonies about the things that I have heard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that God is going to give us deliverance in our services. I believe that people are going to be delivered from things that they have held on to for years and years. You know, we live in a day where you've heard this said, there's no just plain old rotten sinners anymore. People before in the days, you could just say, you know what, you need to get right with God. And the Holy Ghost would get a hold of them. They knew they could run to an altar. They could pray and they would just fall on their face crying and weeping. They'd turn their life around, throw everything away, get rid of everything. And you never had to worry about them from that moment on. But you know what, we live in a different day. We live in a day when people have not grown up in a church going home. When you say church, people think of organized religion. They think of people wanting to steal your money. They don't have good feelings, good thoughts about church, about the things of God. You have to begin with a relationship. You have to be their friend. You have to work with them. You have to pray with them and in their needs, the crisis that they have in their life. And there are people that struggle with things that they've held on to for years and years and years. But I believe in this second crossing that God is going to give deliverance to people in a miraculous and divine way that they can look at it and say, the doctor couldn't do it. The psychologist couldn't do it. Now, I'm not criticizing doctors. I think if you're sick, you go to a doctor. You find out what's wrong, and we're going to pray about it. I think if you're having issues in your life, maybe you're dealing with depression, you're dealing with things, I think you need to get help. You need to ask God to help you and get direction from your pastor. You go to him and say, Pastor, what do I need to do? Whatever he says. But here's what I'm asking you, that whatever the report you are given, that you would take it to the Lord and say, God, I'm asking you today for a miracle in my life. I'm asking you, God, to do a work in this situation. I think it's time we say, God, we are at a second crossing and you will confirm the word one more time. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's going to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel a little bit of faith in the house tonight. The Lord is going to do the work. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I really feel like the Lord wants to raise up this group of people in here. You know, sometimes we can get to looking at ourselves. We look in the mirror. When I was 15-year-old, I used to stand in front of the mirror and I would flex my muscles. I had my shirt off and I was getting red in the face. I mean, my face would be, you know, my veins would be popping out, and nothing happened. So I turned to the side. I put my thumb right here, and I just... Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. This is about the holiest group of people I ever met here tonight. My word. Felt like Charlie Mahaney. Anybody know who Charlie Mahaney is? I don't know if you know who he is, but he's an old preacher, ugly as sin. He'd say, "Hallelujah, this is Charlie Mahaney." He said, "We were so poor, somebody broke into our house and we mugged him." Hallelujah. He said, "One time I dated a girl, she had so many issues, she had a subscription." Hallelujah. "She was so ugly, one time she went into a haunted house and came out with an application." Hallelujah. Folks, you ever felt that way? They're thinking of moving Halloween to her birthday. Hallelujah. You ever wake up and look in the mirror and there's a pimple the size of Mount Rushmore on your head? Just kind of... You feel like everybody's staring at you. You start thinking, "Man, what am I doing, Lord? I got so many problems. I got so many things going on in my life." Too many times we think of ourselves lesser than what we should. You know, sometimes that can be a source of pride to think that, well, God can't use me for that. The Lord can't. So you're elevating yourself above God's plan? Oh, it's getting tight, right? Hallelujah. And go back to Brother Mahaney. Hallelujah. We've all been there. The Lord knocks on the door of our hearts and says, "Hey, go do that." We say, "Well, I don't know what to say." Well, of course, you idiot. That's why God's going to give you the words to speak. Hallelujah. Go on and do what I told you to do. Hallelujah. Isn't that what he told him? He said, when you go before the judges, he said, "Don't you worry about it. I'm going to give you what to speak. I'm going to anoint you. I've given you the power of the Holy Ghost. I've given you an understanding of spiritual things. I've given you things that are going to help you walk when you feel like falling. I have given you everything you need. Now, why don't you see yourself like I see you? As a child of God, as a priest, as a king, as one who has authority, as one who can speak to the mountain and say, 'Be thou removed,' and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done." I wish somebody here would say, "You know what? I believe I'm a child of God. You know what? I believe the Lord's going to use me this year. I believe God is going to give me a revival in my life. I believe the Lord is going to do something in my life." Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. You can be seated. You see, the Lord said, "As it comes to pass, as soon as the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord touch the water." Aren't you thankful? The writer said, "We are a chosen generation." He said, "You." Point your name and say, "You." You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. Now, did y'all point at somebody and say, "You"? As if you got the Holy Ghost, that's you. You know, in the old days when they would send the scriptures out, they didn't have Bibles like we do. They would have a letter and be on a scroll, and they'd take it and they would stand in front of the church and they would read the letter to the entire congregation. And they read the letter. They didn't just say, "Well, to all the parents in here, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation." No. He didn't say, "Only to those that are above the age of 50 years old." How's that? "Only those that are above the age of 50, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood." No. He's talking to those that have been saved. Those that had repented of their sins. According to Acts chapter 2 and 38, repented of their sins, been baptized in the name of Jesus, been filled with the Holy Spirit. That are turning themselves away from this untoward generation. That are living in holiness. That are walking with the Lord. He said, "That's who I'm talking to. And I'm not putting an age limit on it." I believe our children are going to prophesy. Amen. I believe our young people are going to dream dreams and see visions and speak the things of God. If they have the Holy Ghost, is it not the same Holy Ghost that I have at 35 years old that you have? God wants to raise up people in this last day, some Samuels, some children that want to be used by God, because you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. And so I say, it's time for us to get ready. If you're 6 years old and you have the Holy Ghost, it's time for you to get ready. If you're 75 years old and you have the Holy Ghost, it's time for you to get ready, because we're getting ready to walk into some new waters. We're getting ready to walk into some new territory. God is bringing us to the second crossing. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Come on, something's getting a hold of us tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close here in just a minute, but you can be seated for just another minute. Praise God. Praise God. But I think it's time to step into the waters. I think it's time for us to test the Lord and say, Lord, here's your promises. Here's what you've told me. Here's what you've spoken to me. And now if you said it, I've got to act upon it. If you said it, I'm going to believe you. If you said it, I'm going to trust that you are a God who is not going to lie to me, that you're a God that's going to confirm his word and bring it to pass. Praise God. Praise God. What does that mean for us? For some of you, that means you need to start clearing off your kitchen table. And start letting people know, hey, Tuesday nights I'm getting ready to do a Bible study. You want to come and do a Bible study with me? Some of you need to dust off that Bible study chart that's been sitting over there, and you look, you pass by and you look at it and say, well, I need to get that thing. Some of you, it's time to clean your van out. You know, get those fries out of there. You know what I'm talking about? Get that gum out of the carpet. It's like the devil multiplies in that van back there, doesn't he? You know why? Because you're getting ready to pick up some kids from your neighborhood. You're getting ready. And I know it's going to mess up your van. It's going to mess up your car. It's going to smell. But that's the smell of revival. And God is getting ready to take us to a new level in him. Some of you, you know what you need to do? Some of you need to block out some time on Saturday and go down to that old senior home, or go down to your street and, you know, drive by and look for some little areas where there's people running around, and say, you know what, I'm gonna block some time off, and I'm going to go down there and I'm going to spend my Saturday. Is this all right? Now, this is the only way it's going to happen. You can't just say, well, I'll pay the preacher, let him do all that stuff. No, God's raising up some priests in this last day that will say, I'm going to get that ark on my shoulder and take the presence of God into the land that he has promised me. And the Lord is going to give some of you, I just believe this today, some of you are just maybe 1 or 2 months away from filling up a whole pew with people. Is that too hard for God? That's not too hard for God. It just takes somebody that says, I'm a priest with him, and I'm getting ready to do the work of God. I'm submitted to my pastor. I'm doing the work of the Lord. And if he tells me to stop, I'm going to stop. If he tells me to go, I'm going to go. But something tells me that your pastor's been preaching some things and talking about what God wants to do, and you've been saying, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. I just don't know what this. But God is saying, it's time to step in. It's time to just move forward. It's time to let me work out the details, but you're going to see the revival that God has promised. You're going to see the harvest that God has promised. You're going to see the miracles that God has promised in your life. Oh, come on. We need to clap our hands. We need to worship him right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Stand with me if you would. I'm done preaching. I need to quit. I'll get in trouble. I'll have my wife here to give me the signals. Praise God. But you know, as I was been praying about this weekend, the Lord put in my mind a picture of a lighthouse standing up on a hill with a beacon going out over the city. sending out the light. And you don't know how valuable the light is until it's dark. You will never understand the value of one small light until you are encompassed in the darkest hours of your life. And I didn't understand it until I began to come into this church. I walked into this building. I parked out here in the back and came into the building. And then pastor was telling me, this is the old sanctuary. He said, and we had to, he said, tell me about it. We're in a floodplain. He said, and we had to build our church on an elevation. And as I walked up the stairs, I didn't realize, but I was standing over here and I thought, you know what? I had to come up a little higher. I had to come up to where this building is. And I'm not necessarily saying that this building is specifically the lighthouse, but I'm saying that the Lord is confirming to me that I have made this church a lighthouse. I have lifted you up. I have brought you to a place of elevation in this city. I have brought you to a place where you are going to shine into this city and you are going to see things happen. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You are going to see things happen that are going to blow your mind, because there are people who are in darkness that are looking for the light. If you receive that, lift your hands right now. Just let the Holy Ghost flow. I'm calling for somebody today that you are willing to say, Lord, I'm going to step out. Lord, I don't know what it is and how it's going to happen, but Lord, I'm stepping out right now. I wish you'd come around this front and throw your hands in the air and let the Holy Ghost begin to flow through your life. Thank you, children. Thank you, young people, for coming. God is going to fill people with the Holy Ghost tonight. If you need the Holy Ghost, come up here and throw your hands in the air and say, God, I'm ready. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your anointing.